This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We talk about fishing and hunting and the great outdoors. And with us this morning is the one, the only, the unique, Ms. Robert.
Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm trying to wake up.
Yeah, I know. It's a long ride from Eastern Shore over here. Leave a little early and, you know, it's not much traffic, not much excitement other than...
It's an easy ride.
Oh, very easy ride that time of day, other than the six police cars or seven there on the...
Liberty Road.
Liberty Road, yeah, along the highway. House all lit up. God knows what was going on there. So, anyway, here we are. Phone number 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. Coming up 6 o'clock, we have Angel Willie, who will be with us, talking about sharks. And kind of apropos off of Ocean City this past week, we had a rare visitor, a big old whale shark, which is not a whale, but it is a shark, which is a fish, the largest fish in the sea, and probably a whale shark is what swallowed Jonah back in the biblical times. Jonah wasn't swallowed by a whale, a mammal. Jonah was swallowed by a great fish, if you believe the Bible, more than likely a whale shark or something similar to it.
So it wasn't Moby Dick?
No, it wasn't Moby Dick.
Okay.
No, it was a whale shark, likely a whale shark. Anyway, we'll talk to Angel about that, a fellow from Pasadena?
Hebron.
Hebron, yes, Hebron. Somebody from Hebron actually saw the thing swimming. He was on a fishing trip. Didn't catch any tuna, but saw this thing swimming near his boat and jumped overboard with a scuba tube and swam up to it and touched it. And that's like a once-in-a-lifetime deal, so that's pretty cool. Pretty cool. Again, our number 410-WCBM-680. We hope you had a great 4th. Robin and I visited down at Papa John's farm and got some corn and some tomatoes and all that.
That was really good.
We had some good stuff for the 4th of July, for sure. Anyway, some good stuff going on and some bad stuff going on behind the scenes. We're looking at some bad stuff going on around the state when it comes to poaching and such like that. But the good news is a new law took effect July 1st that allows any Maryland veteran who received a Purple Heart for injuries sustained defending our nation. Now you qualify for a 50% discount on Maryland hunting and fishing licenses. The new discounted rate went into effect July 1st, 2017. Purple Heart recipients will join disabled veterans and former POWs, along with current members of the U.S. military, who can receive special pricing for Maryland licenses, permits, and stamps. According to Secretary Mark Belton, the Admiral, we're proud to provide accessible, exceptional, and world-class recreational opportunities for all Marylanders, especially those heroes who sacrificed so much for our freedom and way of life. We're hopeful that more current service members and veterans take advantage of our many programs to experience the majesty and wonder of Maryland's great outdoors. Individuals interested in applying for the new discount program must apply directly to one of the department's regional licensing and registration service centers. Active duty military personnel must provide official documentation on their Purple Heart award. Veterans are asked to bring their official discharge paper, and that is Form DD-214. It's kind of a nice thing that went through the General Assembly this 2017 session. Looks like we've got Paul on the air. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Good morning, Alan. I am well. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Paul.
What's going on, buddy?
Hey, not much. Last week, I think I heard you talking about your grill.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have a similar grill to yours, but I have a firebox that's off on the side where the charcoal would go.
Right.
And I use that to smoke my meat, and I actually smoked a whole hindquarter, and it turned out wonderful.
Venison hindquarter?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's coming. I've been experimenting with the smoking. We have the same grill. It's half charcoal on the right and half gas on the left. And
firebox
on the right next to the charcoal side of the grill. So, yeah, you fill that with your charcoal. You start that. Then you move your meat into the vacant charcoal side of the grill. You put your moisture on top of the grill. You put your, I don't know, what do you call that thing? The dripping tray underneath what you're smoking. And let her go. I mean, I did some ribs not long ago that were just spectacular. So
yeah, but the venison sounds really
venison
good.
Sounds good. Yeah, we'll have to consider that hindquarter thing. So how long did you do it, and what did you use for a rub?
Well, I have a probe that I put into the meat.
Right.
So I monitor the temperature. So I mean, it varies. It depends on the day. If it's raining and it's cold,
uh-huh.
It takes longer, that kind of thing.
Okay.
My wife varies the seasonings that she uses for a rub, but we did use a mango and habanero sauce on them one time.
Mm. Well, that sounds good.
Good.
Yeah, that sounds
wonderful.
Good.
Very good.
We bought one of those rotisserie pork loins a week or so ago. And, you know, you get them at, well, we got ours at Harris Teeter. I don't know where you can get them, if you can get them elsewhere. You know, the rotisserie chicken, and they do the pork roll and all that, or the pork loin and all that. Just, you know, about, I don't know, 5 or 6 inches long, something like that. And we ate some sandwiches and stuff off of it. And I took that, and I'm gonna use this again. I took that and chopped it up in some, you know, edible pieces, and chopped up a Vidalia. And added hot pepper jelly to it. And,
oh, wow.
And I just did it on top of the stove, and I put some, you know, salt and pepper jelly.
Tomatoes,
and, yeah, some little cherry tomatoes in there, and just let it cook on the top of the stove, just simmer on top of the stove, because the meat was already cooked. So I let the onions cook down, and the pepper jelly all melted, and the flavor all went through it, and, oh, my gosh, that was wonderful.
Oh,
so try some of that pepper jelly. You can get red and green. I don't know that it makes a difference, but... I've used it on duck breast, and I love it.
Yep.
And I mean, I'm guessing it would work just as well on venison. So that would be kind of a sweet kind of a flavor,
like his mango habanero.
Like your mango, yeah, yeah. The jelly's already made up. You just slather it on there. I'll tell you, we ran into a guy, and I don't know if I told this story on the air or not. We were driving down 50, and I saw this truck going by, had this guy's, you know, kind of a, what do you call it, caricature? Cecil Seasonings.
Right.
So he had a phone number on there. I called him, and I said, he's, you know, told him who I was. Yeah, let's get together. I said, that's great. And he said, where are you located? I said, well, right now I'm driving behind you on 50. He goes, well, I'm gonna pull over down here. I'll give you some sample. I asked him if he had a crab seasoning, you know, potential advertiser in the crab magazine. So
right.
we pulled over down in Vienna, and he gave me a couple samples of his, you know, one for a little bag of his crab seasoning and another little bottle of his Baba Yaga rub. Oh, my gosh.
We use it on everything.
I use it on corn on the cob. I use it on pork. I use it on the rib. And I didn't use that on the ribs, did I? No, I used it on pork chops on the grill the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Yeah, so, you know, look him up online, Cecil Seasonings. I don't know. He's out of Dorchester. Yeah, Cecil. C-E-C-I-L.
And he, Baba Yaga rub.
Yeah, and he uses it, and he's a good guy. He's a really nice guy. And he doesn't, you know, he's not a mass marketer. He has it in a few farm markets and
specialty stores,
you know, like the Easton Farmers Market. He's got it in there. So anyway, yeah. But
where do you find the jelly?
I find it just at the grocery store.
Okay.
At a farmer's market. The farmer's market have a lot of really good pepper jellies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's the kind of pepper jelly like you put over top of cream cheese and serve at holidays and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
But I'll tell you, I used it on some wild duck breast not long ago. Oh, And I'm going to use it on some geese. That was in the crock pot, actually, and that turned out really well. I mean, everything melts, and it just kind of infuses in the flavor into the meat, and it's really good. So.
Oh, it sounds good.
Yep. So anyway, well, good. I'm glad.
I want you to smoke some venison. That's going to be good.
You want me to smoke some venison?
Yeah.
All right. Now, the venison's very dry. How do you keep it moist, Paul?
Well, we do the boiler like you're talking about. We put a little pot that's directly where the heat comes out.
Right.
With water in it. And I'm trying to think of what else she puts on there.
Yeah. Because venison is so dry, and for our listeners, venison is not a hindquarter. Especially, you think of beef, and you got all that marbling in there, all that fat. Well, venison doesn't have that. The fat on a deer is on the outside. Sometimes you'll find some in some steaks in between the muscles, but it doesn't taste good. It's a tallow, what they make soap out of, you know, and it's. That's what gives you the gummy, roof of the mouth, nasty, gamey taste. So I remove every bit of fat that I can get off the venison before I even cook it. And, if I put it in a crock pot and I've got some fat that, and let it cool, I get all that fat off of everything before I serve it. So.
Would you add sausage to sick of deer burger?
Well, sick of deer burger's dry. I mean, all burgers dry, but you can add sausage, or you can have your butcher process it with fat if you want. I've never done it. I've always had mine nice and lean because I make a lot of spaghetti sauces and things like that out of it. So, it doesn't have to have the fat in it. But if you want to make a burger, you better put some sausage in it. So,
yeah, that's what I do. I mix it up.
Yeah.
He's trying to get me used to eating venison.
I'm trying to get Robin. Now, she likes sick of deer.
Sick of deer you can give me all day long.
White tail, we're still on the edge on that one. So.
Still working that one, huh?
Yeah. So, but, yeah, we'll do some deer in the smoker. That's for sure.
I'll try that.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. It comes out good.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt in my mind.
We marinated overnight. And
oh, what do you use for marinade? What do you use for marinade?
She whipped something up. I couldn't tell you exactly.
You better email me some of that whip something up stuff, buddy.
Well, it's like I asked her, and she's like, I don't know. I just threw this in there, that in there. And
I know that feeling.
That'd be a Robin move. So that sounds good. Let's put some of that in there. So.
I mean, good cooks, they don't really have that kind of recipe. They get a pinch of this and a pinch of that.
I'll tell you, if I taste. Listen, the ladies at the church in Greenwood, Pennsylvania, up by Altoona, are famous for their hams. For a wedding reception, for funerals, for all that stuff, they are famous for their hams, okay? Everybody wants them to serve ham for the wake or whatever it might be, okay? What's your secret? Oh, we just put soda in there. They call it pop. Yeah. They call it pop up in Pennsylvania. What kind? Oh, it don't matter. It can be root beer, Pepsi, Mountain Dew, whatever you want. I guess it's the sugars in there and the flavored steam, adds the flavor to the ham. But you can use a cola to marinate your meat with whatever flavoring you want. So, that's the substitute kind of for brown sugar or, anything like that. If you just want to use regular old cola, and then whatever's in the cola helps break down the fibers in the meat too. So,
right, because the acid in the cola does that.
Exactly. So
I've never thought of marinating with the cola, but I have in the crock pot done chicken.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
A can of Coke in there. And,
well, beer can chicken with soda is the same thing. So. In the oven,
Right.
So, all right, buddy, we got to go.
All right.
Thanks
great
for the call.
To
yes,
nice
sir.
Nice talking to you, Paul.
Okay, Paul. Thanks, buddy.
Have a great day.
Right, bye bye.
Bye bye.
All right, you too, Robin.
Bye bye.
Bye bye, Alan.
Bye bye. There goes Paul. All right. Well, since we're talking about all this good food, we did what the commercial said to do, right? We got our corn and our tomatoes from Papa John's, and we got a beautiful cantaloupe, which is.
Well, that was good.
That was good. Still is. We're still eating on some of that. But summer's the time for picnics and family get-togethers and camping trips. Summer's corn on the cob. And, if you want some steamed crabs, you need corn on the cob to go with that and fresh tomatoes. Summer is cold, juicy melons. And I was talking to the folks at Papa John's the other day, Jimmy and Gina, and they said somebody, one of our listeners, went down there looking for crabs. Well, they don't sell crabs, but they will tell you, if you steam your crabs, use that steamer pot and add your corn on top.
While you're steaming the crabs.
While you're steaming the crabs. Steam your corn right in with it. Use the crab seasoning right in there with it and your beer or your vinegar or whatever, and they want to provide the corn for that. That's all. That's all. Hot corn with crab spice on it. Oh, good grief. If you enjoy your time outdoors with great-tasting food, head down to Schillinger, Papa John's Farm in Severn. At their enormous produce barn, their own tasty super sweet corn and homegrown tomatoes are ready to roll. Their squash, zucchini, peppers, onions, oh, they've got peppers and plums, green beans, cucumbers, all that, mouthwatering cantaloupes and sweet watermelon too, seeded and seedless. Papa John's Farm. Located just off I-97, exit 12, 8065 New Cut Road in Severn. That phone number, 410-969-8810. Papa John's Farm is open every day, Monday to Saturday from 9 to 7, Sunday 9 to 6. That phone number again, 410-969-8810. If you need corn for your church or for your family reunion, give that number a call, 969-8810. And visit Schillinger's Papa John's Farm. It'll grow on you. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners rated number one, carrying nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex premium bedliner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck, step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards. You get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner, truck gear, and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford, 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W. Tire and Auto.
Put me on a mountain way back in the backwoods. Put me on a lake with a biggin' on the line. Put me around a campfire.
And now more from Alan Ellis and the Outdoorsman Radio Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we are back. Our phone number 410 WCBM 680. We hope we made you hungry with Paul and I talking about eating and grilling and cooking and marinating and all that stuff. If you got something you want to share about that, feel free. We like talking about eating, fishing, game here on the Outdoorsman Show. Hey, here's some news for you. If you are a shareholder of Cabela's, You will get to vote next week on whether or not you want to merge with Bass Pro Shops. With the federal regulators apparently satisfied with the proposed merger of Cabela's, which the stock symbol is CAB, and Bass Pro Shops, which is privately owned, Cabela's shareholders are now scheduled to vote next Tuesday, July 11th, to move forward with the transitions. The original sale priced the transaction at $5.5 billion, but was delayed, amended after delays, sitting now at $61.50 a share, down $4 from the original price, but still at a premium to the current share price trading range. So there you go. I'm sure that Mr. Morris has read the president's book, The Art of the Deal. As a matter of fact, I know he has. No, I don't know that for sure, but I know that the folks at BPS are wheeler dealers. That's for sure. So anyway, $61.50 a share when it's sold to Bass Pro Shop. The shareholders of Cabela's will vote next Tuesday. Here's another bit of news from the outdoors. Saw this on that was from the Outdoor Wire. So is this yesterday? Scentlock Technologies purchases Robinson Outdoor Products. Our buddy Chuck made us aware of that. These are the two folks that have the scent control market pretty much locked up. Acquisition includes all brands, assets, patents, and intellectual properties of Robinson Outdoor Products. Scentlock Technologies, the leading manufacturer of premium scent-controlling products, is pleased and excited to announce the acquisition of Robinson Outdoor Products. The transaction, finalized on July 6th, includes all the assets of Robinson, including Scent Blocker, Scent Shield, Tree Spider, Whitewater Outdoors products and brands, as well as all patents and intellectual properties. Founded by Bill Robertson and Robinson in 1985, Robinson Outdoors introduced Scent Shield, a human odor eliminating spray for hunters, during its initial year in business. In 1997, the company began offering their Scent Blocker line of activated carbon clothing. Robinson Outdoors acquired Whitewater Outdoors in 2003 and branched into non-scent controlling clothing. Additional innovations ensued as these brands matured. Robinson Outdoors introduced Tree Spider tree stand safety products in 2010 and then launched the revolutionary Trinity synthetic odor control technology in 2013. And on it goes. Just so you know, the big dog is Scentlock. Scentlock Technologies is headquartered in Muskegon, Michigan. It's a leading worldwide designer, marketer, and distributor of performance, hunting, and casual odor-controlling apparel, footwear, and equipment under the Scentlock, Scent Blocker, Scent Shield, Whitewater Outdoors, and Tree Spider brands. Founded in 1992 on scientific principles, Scentlock is the only company with access to all scent controlling technologies, including their patented activated carbon technology, which is consistently proven to outperform other technologies tested. Scentlock is a pioneer in the hunting industry, which many credit with creating a market based on the elimination of odors to get closer to big game. There you go. Scent control. Not that that's practiced in the control room. Or here, actually. Or in the truck. But it is a good practice to consider practicing in the woods to control your own scent. Play the wind is usually the best way to do it. And make sure that the deer can't smell you. Now, do I believe in these scent technologies? Some of them I do. Some of that clothing can indeed cut down on your scent, your odor that goes out into the air. I'm not a believer in chewing, the gum, the chlorophyll gum to control your breath.
You're kidding, right?
No, I'm not kidding. There's chlorophyll gum out there that makes your breath smell like plant matter. I do believe in the addition of the scent control stuff, the spray, to cut down on the odor, which is basically hydrogen peroxide, basically.
That scent control is why you do the laundry at the house.
Anyway.
No, because you want it to not smell I put smelly stuff on it, and you don't want it to go.
Oh, yeah,
The
hunting clothing, I get it. The hunting clothing, I do, I use the scent-free detergent that doesn't affect the camo pattern. It doesn't, take out the collar and all that stuff. And I do practice that, and I do make sure that that's kind of in an area away from all the other clothing and that type of. Yeah, I'm very conscious of that. Absolutely.
That's why you do the laundry.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah, nobody washes my hunting clothes but me. Sorry. But I do believe in the spray for the boots and all that stuff. And I always spray my boots, and I always spray the bottoms of my boots because, you know, you don't know what you're going to step in along the way. You don't know. Well, you don't know what. Look, you forget and step on a French fry in your truck, okay, and then you walk down the trail with it. Well, deer don't know what French fries smell like or canola oil.
They probably don't care.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. Anyway, this is going to be fun.
No.
But yeah, I believe in some of this stuff. Am I going to invest $500 in a scent-free hunting outfit? Probably not. Probably not. I'll keep treating the outside, and I'll make sure I'm as odor-free as possible with odor-free soap and that type of thing, shampoo and all that. But I'm not chewing the chlorophyll gum.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. So... 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Let's see what else we got here on the hotline. Oh, boy, the holiday weekend was fun for people on the water, Natural Resources Police. For the second consecutive year, the 4th of July holiday ended without a boating fatality. Hey, 2 years in a row.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Statewide, there were 15 boating accidents, an increase of 3 over 2016, and officers arrested 12 boaters for operating under the influence of alcohol, the same number as last year. One of the same guys. The most serious boating accident occurred in Ocean City last Saturday when a Kawasaki personal watercraft struck the Route 50 bridge around 4:30 p.m. I love the way that's written. The personal watercraft struck the bridge. Wasn't a person operating it that drove it into the bridge. It just like, you know, he was killed by a 9mm handgun. No, he was killed by a person who pulled the trigger of a 9mm handgun.
I'm okay? A little slow.
That's okay. Right. It's all right. Fellow by the name of Yash Bargava, 28 years old of Cumberland, Rhode Island, was taken to Atlantic General Hospital with head and internal injuries and then transferred to Peninsula Regional Medical Center for additional treatment. His passenger was not injured. Bargava was cited for negligent operation and operating in excess of 6 knots within 100 feet of a structure. Wonder if he knew that was the law. Have you seen these guys on jet skis over the holiday weekend? From June 30th through July 2nd, the department's police unit teamed up with the U.S. Coast Guard for Operation Dry Water, a 9-year-old national campaign to crack down on impaired boating. Saturation patrols focused on high traffic areas and traditional hotspots. Since its inception, the campaign has resulted in 82 arrests. In 9 years, they've arrested 82 people. That's an average of 9 per year. Tens of thousands of boaters out there, and 82 arrests have been made in 9 years. Officers issued 526 citations during the holiday, a 6.2 increase over 2016. Tickets were issued for violations such as exceeding the 6-knot speed limit. That's a big one. Insufficient number of life jackets, another big one. Lack of boat safety equipment, and exceeding crabbing and fishing limits. Maryland Natural Resources Police is responsible for patrolling state parks and other public lands. During the July 4th holiday weekend, officers were in contact with 8,138 visitors. In addition, officers conducted 2,153 free vessel safety inspections and checked 3,709 recreational anglers, 1,549 crabbers, and 224 watermen. You're looking like you have a question.
I missed something.
What'd you miss?
Was it 82... convictions or 82 tickets?
82 arrests.
Arrests.
Okay. In 9 years.
Got it.
Under Operation Dry Water. 82 arrests.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. 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 You arrested 12 boaters. 12 for operating under the influence of alcohol. The same number as last year. How many boaters do you think are in Ocean City and all the recreational centers of the bay who have are operating under the influence of alcohol? Just
I plead the Fifth Amendment.
Plead the Fifth Amendment. The Fifth Amendment? Is that the Fifth Amendment? Is that the one you're pleading? The Fifth?
Mm-hmm.
As in fifth of...
Fifth of something, yeah.
Sorry.
That was good.
410 WCBM 680. Let's hear from you folks. It's time. We got to get some calls in here. 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. Did you hear this story? Quick action from an 11-year-old boy saved a fishing party from a charging brown bear. That's a big one, says Alaska State Troopers. Elliot Clark was walking through the woods near Game Creek with his three family members and three dogs when a bear came out and charged him. The Juneau Empire reported the bear ran through two of the men, pushing them to the side of the trail, leaving Elliot and his cousin left in its path, Elliot's father, Lucas, said. There were four of them in a line. My son was third. The bear came down the trail at them. The fellow in the front, who was his uncle, the bear was on him so quickly that he didn't time to take his rifle off his shoulder.
I sent you that one. I remember.
Yeah, you remember that. All right. Now we have to go to a link here. And, oh, that was nice. Well, the story ended. Apparently,
the father said something about what saved him was probably he didn't buy the boy a holster for his gun. It was he was just carrying
a strap. Yeah, he didn't have a strap on the gun. That's the gist of the story. The boy had quicker access to his gun because he didn't get it off his shoulder. It happened so fast.
Right.
And he shot the bear, and the bear, you know, pretty much avoided the attack on the rest of the party. And then I you know, it was a non-fatal wound, and they had to kill the bear. But yeah, that's kind of the story. I know why that took me away from there. Oh, well, that's the way it goes. So, interesting. Interesting.
Technology.
Technology is interesting, isn't it? Yes, it is.
No, what's interesting is dealing with you and technology.
Interesting is dealing with me and technology. All right, let me see if this will link it again. See, it says read more, and then it took me away from there. I was trying to get to that back to that story, but... Now it's taking me to another story. Hopefully we'll get a caller and rescue us from this mess. Do you know the first, let's see. Oh, we got a caller. Thank God.
The first what?
The first elk calf was born in West Virginia in 150 years the other day.
No, I did not know that.
Yeah. How about that? So we'll go back to that. And email's a wonderful thing. So is technology.
As I hit the mouse, okay,
there we go. Let's see. Where is that story? This is from Boone and Crockett Club. A lot of the, you know, I get a lot of this stuff. Boone and Crockett Club is great. We've got their cookbook and all that. But we'll get back to that. Tim, good morning. Tackle Box Tim, how you doing, brother?
Good morning, Alan. How are you, sir?
Good.
I heard the call for callers.
Yeah, congratulations on those really nice smallmouth we talked about last week.
I had a great couple of days there last week. That was in a nice 100-yard stretch where the river opens up and comes around the corner, and, mm-hmm. and big rocks just lay across each other. And
oh, man.
Hide down in there, and, man, I tell you what, I actually saw one of them come and bully its way past three others to get to that stickworm.
Nice. Now, that stickworm, is that a retrieving bait, or is that a surface thing?
No, it's more or less a little soft worm. It's more referred to as a Senko.
Oh, okay, I got it.
A little soft do-nothing.
Do-nothing, all you do is just toss it out there, it looks like food, and you tap it a couple times, and it...
You give it a lift and fall, and
yeah, I got it.
It shimmies down on its own. But also, with the river being low like it was and very little current, there were some beautiful small largemouth bass caught too.
Really,
the most brilliant white sides against the black sidelines, and
mm-hmm.
they were just awesome. You can't get that color in stained tidal water. When you're talking about largemouth bass.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Well, that's pretty cool, man. I mean, you had a good, it looks like you had a good time. So.
Yeah, that was a blast. And then 2 days prior to that Sunday, we did a trip out to Patapsco, and we got a limit of rockfish jigging and put a hurting on a bunch of perch.
Wow, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Did some jigging on some pilings down just inside the bridge. We caught a couple right at 20 inches, and I put them back because with them shrinking down in the cooler because the area is patrolled very regularly. We have by DNR, and they don't care if it's 19, if it was 20 inches when you caught it, and it's 19 and 7/8 when they look at it.
Right, exactly.
They don't know if you caught it 3 hours ago or it just went in the box.
Exactly.
You put those 20s back.
Yep. Yeah,
got some rock structure outside the natural rock structure outside the bridge that we fish, and the white perch were stacked in there about 3 feet thick and 10 feet of water. It's just incredible.
Nice.
We didn't have any monsters in there, but between the three of us, we probably caught about 70 fish.
Nice. What's wrong with that? That's great.
No, that was a hoot. That was a great day. Wish I could have them all the time, but. Then you wouldn't appreciate those days.
Exactly right. Yeah, if you did it every time, you'd get tired of it, you know?
Yeah, but then you have those good days, and you can't understand why you don't when you don't.
I answered that question with two words, and I always do. Fish swim.
Yes, they do.
Yep.
Weren't those pictures of you and Tim from the first fishing trip y'all took, the ones we saw the other day?
No, that was once he caught... Just over the weekend.
No.
What?
No, the ones I found in the old box from your house.
Maybe. I don't know.
You said it was the first trip you took with him back in like 05 or something.
That could have been. Oh, with the white perch and Jacob?
We took Jacob out.
Yeah,
that was white perch. That was a great trip, too.
Those are pictures I just saw, Tim. That's the reason I was thinking about it.
Yeah, those were really neat. Robin, how's your shoulder coming along?
Slow. Slow but sure.
Yeah.
Good. The shore part is best.
Thank you very much. Yeah, thanks for asking.
No problem.
Still a lot of pain. Still a lot of therapy to go. So you know.
Yeah. Somehow that physical therapist got it above my head yesterday, and I was not a happy camper.
Oh my! Have to start creeping that thing up the wall more regularly.
That's what they just started me on that.
Oh,
and it's
really?
Been 11 weeks. I just started creeping up the wall. So yeah, it was a pretty bad tear. So.
I hate creeping up the wall with the shoulder.
This place is neat, though. It's got steps that you put your fingers on to climb the wall, so you have a little bit more control.
Okay.
They have music
and headphones and all that?
No, I wish.
Oh, sorry.
And all the guys in there like the sports channel, so it gets a little...
What's wrong with the sports channel?
I can only watch so much of it.
Well,
you should request that they have the outdoor channel.
The outdoor channel, that's the one you want.
Well, one of the techs there likes to cook. The guy tech likes the cooking channel. So if I get him, he's got the cooking channel on his.
Oh, well, then you're in heaven.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Or the World Fishing Network.
Yeah, WFN is good.
Look, Tim, I love to fish, so I would watch that.
Well, yep. Once you get back, you'll have to have Alan take you out with one of his contacts.
I'd love to, but you know,
there was no casting for me this summer,
Tim. As much as I love to fish, I don't like to watch other people fish on TV. And especially the commentary. Then the one that this has been 15 years ago or more. I'm watching one of these fishing shows, right? And the guys are bass fishing on a lake in Texas. And the guy's got his foot in the trolling motor. And he's casting. Okay. And it's that boat's moving along. You know how they do. And I thought he was like just exploring fishing, you know. But he was serious about it. And he's cast and commentary, and the commentary that got me the most was this: these bass are smart. And I went, okay, maybe smarter than you. And at that point, I wanted to stop watching fishing shows altogether.
But what also gets me is that they have migrated into more or less infomercials for the sponsors.
Oh, yeah. I got my Zebco rod and reel, and I got my Arbogast bait and my Stren line, and I'm over here fishing with my Lowrance depth finder out of my Polar Craft boat with my Evinrude motor and my Mini Kota trolling motor, and we was catching us some fish.
You don't like
this. We caught a lot of fish on spinner baits. And you know what else I love?
Yeah, right, exactly.
The whole tirade of all.
Well, I'll tell you, I covered a couple of, early on in this program, I covered a couple of Bassmasters classics. And the one that Hank Parker won in Virginia.
Right.
That was the first one, I think. And the questions. Hank, what kind of spinnerbait do you use? Well, I kind of tie my own skirts. And what color, Hank? What? Breathless. What color skirt do you use, Hank? Well, I kind of mix up some blue and some white, some chartreuse in there. Well, Hank, how many strands of each color do you use?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. I had to know, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, how many strands of each color do you use?
I'll tell you what, Alan. I have been building some of my own spinner baits and jigs.
Yep.
Right down to making my own skirts, and it does come down to sometimes number of strands for colors.
Okay, Tim. You have just notched yourself right up in there with the guy that asked the question of Hank Parker. Because Hank's like, oh, I don't really know. I mean, I just. All right, buddy.
It can be that specific, and it's just fun to tinker that way, though.
Yeah. Do you think it really matters to the fish whether you have three or four stands of chartreuse in there? Just
ask. No, but when you got guys that want a specific skirt, it matters to them.
Oh, well, yeah, but you know, you're not selling to the fish, you're selling to the fisherman. I get that
exactly.
Part. All right, brother, got to go.
Thank you, Alan.
Thanks, Tim. See you, buddy. Bye. Always great talking to Tim about fishing, that's for sure. All right, Clyde Sports Shop is our go-to place for Browning Firearms, gun repair, rod and reel repair, new fishing line, crabbing supplies, all the pots and all the traps, the open top traps, the stackable traps, the trot lines, everything. They've got the bait, they've got the steamers, they've got the seasoning. If you're going crabbing, you owe it to yourself to stop by and see Clyde Sports Shop at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. They're just off Beltway Exit 9. That phone number, 410-242-6108. They have a fishing hotline, too, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's on now. Give them a call. That's 410-247-3474. The latest fishing information, they update it about once a week, so that information is as good as that. 410-247-3474. 247-FISH is the way to remember that. Clyde Sports Shop. Go see him this weekend.
The weather pattern is going to trend drier into this weekend. If you're to be out from this morning into the afternoon, expect a mix of clouds and sunshine. There may be an isolated shower or thunderstorm popping up later today as a front approaches, but those will be few and far between. And the high today will hit 89 degrees. Overnight, a clearing trend with a low of 65. A dry into the weekend. Tomorrow, sunny and slightly cooler with a high near 86 degrees. And then some scattered showers and thunderstorms may develop during the afternoon on Monday with a high reaching 87. I'm Jeff Maher from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBN.
Great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, I recommend Fish Bones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end. Hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island. Go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. All you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report on the Mid-Bay. Fish Bones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573, 410-360-0573 for Fish Bones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Bedliners are rated number 1 and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800, 410-455-0800, Linex.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowards. Don't let them pick guitars and drive them old trucks. Make them be doctors and lawyers and such. Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. They'll never stay home and they're always alone.
And now more from Alan Ellis and the Outdoorsman Radio Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Cowboys are easy to love and they're harder to hold. And they'd rather give you a song than diamonds and gold. Long star bell buckles and old faded Levi's. And each night begins a new day. And if you don't understand him, and he don't die young, he'll probably just ride away. Mama,
Marty,
don't let your babies grow.
Thank you very much. Marty, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. You can put me back on hold. That was a good song.
What's up, man?
I was just wondering if you heard anything about that Florida thing there with that gentleman that was, well, I don't know, gentleman, but that man was swimming with that 9-foot alligator with his two young kids.
No, I didn't hear about that. How'd that work out for him?
I don't know. Nobody got hurt, but he was there sitting on the shore tapping the, from what I was told that he was tapping his foot on the alligator's nose. And then the two kids were swimming right next to the alligator. Then they started doing, they had a swing there. And then, they were doing a cannonball on the side, and the first thing you know, the alligator turned and just left. I mean, that must be a good father there, huh?
Yeah, I'm thinking that they're idiots born every minute, I guess.
So, yeah, I'll tell you one thing. I mean, a 9-foot alligator, and he got two young kids there swimming right next to it.
Yeah,
and he's there tapping the nose of the alligator with his foot.
I hadn't heard that, but that's, you know.
Somewhere down in Florida, but...
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe he wore some alligator boots or something. I don't know.
Stupid is as stupid does, to quote.
Yeah.
Who is it? Stupid is as stupid does. Yeah, Tom.
Forrest Gump.
Yeah, Forrest Gump. Forrest Gump. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I hadn't heard that, Marty. But that's great. That's a great story. So,
yeah, but they had it on something on YouTube about it too, but I never got it up there. So,
yeah, no, that's probably one I won't look at YouTube. Robin's probably looking at it now.
I am not. I'm reading about.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. So,
but any other callers know anything about it? Because they probably know more about it now. But I was just here to have
yeah.
a nice call.
Well, people have encounters with critters all the time. Some injuries are self inflicted, like that one would have been. Thank God that the alligator was. Probably
Marty.
Well fed, you know?
Yeah.
So, all right, buddy.
All right.
Thanks, Marty. Appreciate it.
Have a good day.
You too. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
There you go. Hey, more on this brown bear story. So here's what happened. Mr. Clark, Elliot Clark's father, the 11-year-old boy, is a bear hunting guide. He told the story on a phone interview with the, who is this? Newspaper up there, the local newspaper, the Juneau Empire. Okay? Juneau, Alaska. So the kid had a gun loaded with one shot of bird shot, which they used to scare bears away, backed up by two slugs, okay, which makes sense. So the bear ran through the first two men. They were pushed to the side. The bear charged them head on, four people in a line. Two guys got knocked aside. They both were armed but had their guns on their shoulders. Elliot didn't have a strap on his gun, and he was standing in front of his cousin who was unarmed. So the boy raised his shotgun. He shot the sow, hitting it with birdshot, which is often used just to scare bears off. His first shot was a light load of birdshot. First shot hit him in the shoulder, did nothing. The next shot, the slug, hit him in the nose and traveled down through the neck. The third shot went into the bear's shoulder and its back. It dropped the bear. The bear was so close, when Elliot hit him with his third shot, there were powder burns on the bear's mouth. Still alive, the bear then slid by Elliott's feet. As the bear slid past him and came to a stop, he put a kill shot in it. I'll tell you what, that's a ballsy little 11-year-old kid, no question about it.
Nope.
Yep, he saved his cousin, his uncle, and whoever else was in that party. So that's a pretty exciting story. Good thing the kid had the presence of mind to do that. That's pretty cool. 410 WCBM 680, we're almost out of time. If you want to be the last caller, you got a couple minutes. And if not, hang out there. We got Angel Willie coming up next. She's going to talk about sharks in Ocean City. We'll ask her about that. Whale shark that was seen, and shark ID. A couple of links, and sharks in the Chesapeake too. What do you think about that? What do you think about that? I was telling you about that elk born in West Virginia in 150 years. Elk calf was born in West Virginia for the first time in 150 years. Reintroduced into the Mountain State in December 2016, this is the first confirmed calf to have been born in West Virginia and is a promising sign for the species' reintroduction into their former eastern range. Yep. All right. We got Natalie on the line, and we got 2 minutes to go. Good morning, Natalie. How are you?
Good morning, Alan. I'm good.
What's
How are
up?
You?
I'm good. What's going on?
Nothing. I'm doing my usual thing.
Yeah, I got it. Just wanted to say hi, huh?
Yeah, and I had a funny story that I thought of because we've been talking about fishing and being on boats a lot.
Okay.
And there was this time when I was around like 13,
yep.
And me and a friend of mine went out on my parents' boat with them. Like, both my parents took us out.
Right.
And we were doing some tubing.
Right.
And I just got a new tube that was a really thin one. It was only for one
right.
people.
Right.
And I didn't know that when you put, like, a little bit too much weight on the front, that it can, like, nosedive. And
yeah.
Under the water.
Yep.
And
so
I
what?
Ended up going underwater for a decent amount of time.
That's not good. Yeah, you got to be careful on that. So.
Yeah.
Yep.
Pretty scary, but luckily I was able to kind of like pull myself back and then pull up on the front, and I came back up.
Got it.
So.
All right, Natalie, we'll appreciate the story. You have a great weekend, okay?
You too. Tell Robin I said hey.
You tell her.
Hey, Natalie.
Hey, Robin.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Hey, girls.
Doing wonderful.
We got an announcement to make. Thanks, Natalie.
No problem. Bye.
Bye-bye. Here goes Natalie. You want to make an announcement?
Mm-mm.
Why?
You can.
December 16th, Rob and I are getting married, Deep
yep.
Creek Lake. Saturday, December 16th. We'll do the show first, then we'll drive up, and then we'll get...
No? That will be a recorded show.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, here comes the music up, folks. Angel Willie's already on the line, and Steve, we're not going to be able to get to your call. So stay tuned. We'll have more about the wedding at a later date.
Yep.
You okay with that?
I'm good with that.
Perfect. All right.